John 13, we're going to start in verse number 1 this morning. John 13, 1 says this. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, I love Simon Peter, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is no greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Let's have a word of prayer, okay? Father, we're grateful for your word. Ask God that you bless this time. Help me, God. I can't do this on my own, and I have nothing to say, Lord. And I don't want to say anything that's outside of what you want me to say. Lord, as I speak the words, God, I ask that your spirit do the work in the hearts. We love you, Lord, and ask that you bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Title today is Dirty Towels and Clean Feet. Dirty Towels and Clean Feet. So this morning, whenever we get ready to listen to preaching and we get ready to open up the Word of God, you're usually supposed to think about yourself, but we're gonna start off a little bit different. We're going to think about two different people. So if you have a pen and paper, pull out a pen and paper. If you have your phone and you're super technological like that, why don't you take a little bit of a note right here, okay? I want you today to write down or type up the absolute worst person you can think of. The person that you can't stand, your worst enemy, someone that's hurt you, someone you can't stand. When they walk in the room, it's like your attitude goes instantly sour. I want you to write it down. I want you to write it down. We all got one. If you write down your spouse's name, that's not allowed, okay? Especially if they're sitting next to you. Now, if they're not here today, do what you want, but God knows. Listen, write down the worst of the worst, the absolute worst person you can think of. If you can't think of anybody, you can write my name down, okay? All right, next person, the second person. Underneath that, write down your favorite person in the world. The best of the best. The person that, when they come into the room, it seems like your mood just kind of lifts up. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your best friend. Maybe it's not your spouse. Maybe they were the first one. But I mean, hey, whatever happens, you know. Maybe it's your friend. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's a teacher, a coach, a parent, a grandparent. The best of the best, okay? Now, you can set that aside for now. We'll get to it later. Who had a worst of the worst? Who had one? Let's see. Oh, we got a few honest people out there. So some of y'all didn't write it down, but it's in there. We know. Who wrote down the best of the best? Y'all aren't participating. Bunch of teenagers in here, never participating. Did you write it down, Keith? Good job. Was it me? Oh, good job. All right, let's get to our text. So the first couple verses here, they give us a little bit of a time period of where we're at in Jesus' ministry and where we're at in comparison to the crucifixion. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come. Now, if you've read the Bible and you've studied it at all, whenever the Bible says that his hour is coming, we know that it to be the crucifixion hour, right? So it says that knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, and he loved them unto the end. Now, We get a little bit of a pre-thought of what's about to happen in the rest of 13, but it says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he arose from supper." So he stood up from the table. Look at this. "And he laid aside his outer garment," almost like a coat, "and he took a towel," and it says that he girded himself. So you know what he did? He wrapped it around his waist, and he tied it on the back. Okay? So he girded himself with a towel. Almost dropped my Bible here. "And after that, he poureth water into a basin." So he filled a bowl with some water. "And here is the part. And he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." Now, this is an amazing picture, right? This is Jesus himself. We understand who Jesus is in this room. If it's your first time, Bethany Baptist Church believes that Jesus Christ is God himself. God himself put on a towel and he stooped down and he started to wash his disciples' feet. Now, imagine how awkward this was, right? Okay, if we're at a meal and pastor gets up, takes off his suit coat, go grabs a towel. He's like, "All right, everybody take your shoes off real quick." Anybody else going to be like, "This is weird"? I'm going to be like, "That's a little weird." Personally, I'm going to be like, "Pastor, you don't need to be doing that." I'm going to be like, "Peter, please don't do this." So Jesus gets on a towel and it's got to be awkward. It's got to be weird because it doesn't seem like anybody else is talking and they're all waiting for the guy to talk that we know is going to. And he gets to Peter, and Peter says, "Lord, you gonna wash my feet?" Now, if you can't like picture Peter, man, you must never talk, because I feel like, man, Peter's my guy. I'm like, hey, you could just put Colin Hendricks right there every single time. So Peter goes, "You're gonna wash my feet?" Now, they knew who Jesus was. They knew, they saw Jesus walk on water. They saw him calm a storm, said, "Peace be still," and the rain stopped and the waves stopped. Like they understand who Jesus was and what he had done and who had called them to do his work. Peter went fishing one time and found a piece of gold in the fish's mouth. Like, I mean, that's an amazing thing that God said, it's just going to happen. So they knew who he was. So when Jesus got down before Peter and started to wash his feet, I can't really blame the guy, because he knew. He says, "You're the Son of God. You're the Christ. You're the Messiah, the Savior of the world." Peter knew exactly who Jesus was. And so he says, "You're going to wash my feet?" Look at this, verse number 6 or 7. "Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." He's like, I'm going to tell you about it afterwards, but I'm going to do this first. And Peter's like, not never going to wash my feet. Time out. Keep looking. And Jesus answered, so patient, so loving. He says, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." So then Peter goes from here to here. Okay, if I'm going to get a part, I want it all. Wash my hands, wash my feet, wash my head. Go ahead, Lord. And Jesus is like, "If I wash your feet, that's all you need. You're going to understand hereafter. I'm going to tell you about it." Now, before we keep going here, we got to address something. Some people look at this as the third ordinance. According to the Word of God, and when baptism is mentioned, and we have two ordinances here, baptism and the Lord's Supper, in that order. You have to be a baptized believer at Bethany Baptist Church to practice communion here, right? Follow me? Okay. So then some people add a third one on, and it's foot washing. Okay? They take that as an ordinance of the church. You have to foot wash. I've never been to a service. I've been to a lot of different services. I've never been to a foot washing service. I don't know how it works. But according to the Word of God and the remainder of the New Testament, we don't see foot washing as taught as an ordinance. And so we see that baptism is, you know, believer's baptism, getting dunked underwater completely. That's a public profession of an inward change, right? And then we come to the Lord's Supper, and that's what? That's for remembering his death and his burial, to remind us of the things that God said. He's like, "This do in remembrance of me." When you take communion, remember what I did for you. That's what it is. So then we get to this passage. So then why is foot washing in John chapter 13? Well, let's keep going here. I wanted to address that a little bit, and then we're going to move on here. And we see, if foot washing isn't a third ordinance, what is it? Jesus fills us in. Don't you love whenever he just gives us the answer? It's called the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. He says this. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments, verse number 12, and was set down again. So he took on his coat, he sat back down. And he got done, and he says this, "Know ye what I have done to you?" Now, apparently, nobody wanted to answer, or there was no time to answer because we didn't get anything filled in. Personally, I would have been like, "You washed our feet?" Like, it's pretty obvious, right? Verse number 13 says, "Know ye not what I have done to you? Ye call me master and Lord. And ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." Okay. 15. "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord." And he's saying, "Hello, you call me Lord and Master. So I am God. I'm the one. I'm the Savior. You all understand this. And if I'm washing your feet, if you're no greater than I am," which does anybody want to claim they're greater than God in here today? I didn't believe so, because it's a room full of sinners, right? And so we're here and we see this. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." He says, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." Huh. So he tells them, "I'm your Lord, I'm your master, and if you call me that, it's very good. You're doing it right. But I've done this as an example. I've done this as your God, as your Savior, as an example." No, Jesus, God himself, the storm stopper, the chain breaker, right? The one that rescues people from their sin. The one that healed the leprous, gave the blind sight, gave the deaf hearing. Those that couldn't speak because their tongue was messed up, he fixed that as well. The guy that laid by the pool of Bethesda, "Come on and walk, brother." No, it was the guy that performed all these amazing miracles, God himself, Jesus Christ, he stoops down below his disciples, but below the people that he called. Now, time out. Think about the people that he called to follow him. It was a motley crew of dudes. And listen, I met some fishermen this week. Some of these guys were fishermen. Fishermen are rough. Ask Brother Mark. Where you at, Brother Mark? He's probably counting. Sorry, Brother Mark. Brother Mark used to be a fisherman. Fishermen are some rough dudes. They're gross. I won't explain it all, because it was gross. But the Creator God, he took a towel and he girded himself with it, and he stooped down to clean the creation's feet. No, he created you and me. He created those disciples. He knew exactly who they were, and he washed their feet. He knew how sinful they were, but he loved them, and he wanted them to know what this example was. And we're going to get into it here in just a few moments. But put yourself at that meal. You just got done having a little bit of fellowship. You don't know all that's to come, but you know what all has happened. And then the person that you endear the most, the best person you've ever met, the person that's completely changed your life, the one that you literally probably left your family to follow after, not live anywhere, not own anything, but you just follow after this guy because he's doing these amazing works. He's the man that people for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years have waited for. And you're following after him and you see him do these amazing things. And then all of a sudden he gets up from this meal and everybody kind of watches because you want to see everything that he does. And he begins to wash your feet. Put yourself there. But we have a little bit more insight. The worst of the worst is at the table too. His name's Judas. And if you and I, personally me especially, if I would have known what Judas was going to do, I think I'd have been ready to just take care of him real quick. I think I would have been ready to make sure that didn't happen. Make sure that what Judas's plan was going to happen. I mean, if I was carrying a sword, might just, you know, give him a little good old fifth rib over there. You know what I mean? No, time out. We believe him to be the Savior, the God of the universe. He's walking among us. Why would we allow anybody to betray him? Okay, so I'm the only sinner. It's cool. I'll take it. I'm good with that. But do you see what I'm saying? Jesus washed Peter, James, and John's feet. John, it's recorded in the Word of God that, you know, it's the disciple that Jesus loved. And so we understand, Peter, James, and John, they were at the Mount Transfiguration. They saw it all. They saw him do amazing, incredible, wonderful things. But then we get to Judas, the thief, the liar, the traitor, the one that would, for 30 pieces of silver, hand our God over to the people that would murder him, torture him, disrespect and humiliate him, rip his beard out of his face, spit on him. No, they blindfold him and hit him across the face and say, if you really are God, tell us which one of you hit him. And he could have, but he didn't. No, Judas is the one that did that. And then we see him go and he's carrying this cross up the hill and he's going and he's so weak and so torn and so beaten that he can't carry it himself. And so they call somebody from the crowd and he begins to carry it with him. And then when they get up there, they put nails in his hands and in his feet. No, Judas is the one that turned him over. Judas. And Jesus knew it. No, Jesus knew exactly what was to come. But yet, he got down and he took those nasty, grimy, stinky feet of Judas and he washed them just like he did Peter, James, and John. I can't comprehend that. Because you make me mad, I'm kind of like, get away from me. I don't want to talk to you right now. You know what I'm talking about? You kind of get on my nerves. I'm going to be nice, but I'm going to avoid as much as possible. I know I'm a sinner. It's cool. I'm taking it. But we see Jesus stoop at the feet of the betrayer. And then he says, I did this as an example. So when he says he does something for an example, and if we believe that he is God and he's the Savior, he's the Master, he's the Lord, and if he says, I did this as an example, that means he expects his followers to do the same. The best of the best is easy, isn't it? I mean, that's easy. My wife wants something, heartbeat. The other night our washer went out. You know what I did? I bought one in like 5 minutes and I went and got it and installed it and we got the washer fixed. Wasn't that hard, was it, Cal? You know why? It's because I love her. But somebody I don't like says, hey, my washer went out. I'd be like, get a job, dude. You know what I mean? Whoop-de-doo-da-day, man. Go get a job. Figure it out. Like, that's me. Let's keep going here. Let's keep going. So if Jesus did this as an example, who does he expect us to serve? Now, I like to step back and look at who Jesus served. The leprous, a disgusting, skin-eating disease. He served him. Time out. Fishermen. Those guys. He served them. The outcasts, the weirdos. Remember the maniac of Gadara? Where'd he live? Someone say it. In the tombs. A cave. In a cemetery. If I'm walking up to a cemetery to do a gravesite and somebody comes out of a hole and they're like, hey, I'm running. Especially if they were like that guy. He was naked. That's what the Bible says. Some naked dude comes running at me at a cemetery. I'm running too, and I'm pushing the slowest guy down. I'm like, get him, not me. I'm gone. Right? But Jesus walks up to the maniac of Gadara, and he's not like, hey, bud, put some clothes on. You know what he says? Hey, let's talk about what's going on inside of you. And he calls out the demons. They say, we're legion. You know what I mean? You remember the story? He served the crazy guy. The guy cutting himself in the cemetery. Like, think about that. He served him. And then that chapter kind of wraps back to the maniac of Gadara and it says, there he is in his right mind. Poor guy had that name for the rest of eternity. Like, he's in his right mind. There's the maniac right there. You know what I mean? Like, that guy was crazy. Jesus served him. Zacchaeus? He served him. Think about who Jesus served over and over and over again. But those are people we're going to get to meet on the other side, right? But you know you. And you say, well, Jesus never washed my feet. You show right. He hasn't. But you know what he's done? I'm going to grab this real quick. You know what he's done, my friend? His hour came. Philippians 2. I'm there. Go to Philippians 2. This is what he did for you. Philippians 2, verse number 5. We're almost done, y'all. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So let this mindset be your mindset. It's almost like it sounds like it's an example or something, right? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself, God himself, made himself of what? No reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant. That Greek word right there is doulos. Real quick Greek lesson. Doulos means servant and also the word slave. Okay? Here we go. And was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and he became, look at this word right here. It's an interesting word. Obedient unto death. You and I don't have a choice. One day it's going to come. We're going to have to obey death's door. Like, whether we get pushed, pulled, or just fall into it, that's what's going to happen. We don't have a choice. God himself came to earth, made himself a servant of everyone, made himself a slave, and not only did he humble himself to become walking on this earth, but then he was obedient. Do you hear that? God obeyed death. Okay. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, that person that's exalted by God humbled himself to the death of the cross. The mindset of Christ is humble servitude. Being a humble slave. That's what he came to earth to do. And we may say, well, he's never washed my feet. You're right, he hasn't. But when he went to the cross, he bore your sins. No, your sins. The most wicked thing that you've ever done, it was on him. No, the most wicked thing that nobody else knows about and you would never share, you would never write down, nothing. The worst thought that you've ever had was on the cross with Christ for you. So you could be saved. So you could spend eternity with him in heaven forever. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not just a game where we're like, oh yeah, we come to church and we believe that Jesus died for us. No, he truly did. The Father separated himself from his Son for you. That's how he served you. Though it happened many years ago, it was for you. You. And he's God. So you know what happened? He had you on his mind. He could think of every single one of us. He's created every single one of us. He knows our faults. He knows our failures. He knows the worst thing about you. The meanest thing that you've ever said to somebody, he knows it because he died for it. And you say, well, I don't know if I can serve them. You see, me and you, we're like Judas a lot more than we want to admit. No, we are. I've heard messages, don't be a Judas. We already are, ladies and gentlemen. When we sin, it's against him. So the mindset of Christ is humble servitude. And the example that God himself gave us was washing the nasty feet of his disciples, including Judas. So then it gets to this question. Are you humble enough to serve anyone and everyone? Are you willing to get your towel dirty for someone that badmouths you? Backbites, backstabs, anyone and everyone. The person that doesn't even know you, but all they do is hate you. The person that whenever they walk in the room, your attitude kind of goes sour. Are you following me here? The example was set. The example, the standard has been set. Even if someone murders you, serve them. How? I don't know how it works. I'm a sinful man. But the crazy thing to me is this. We can get so distracted and so put the blinders on so heavily, and I want to hurry here, is that we want people to make sure our feet are clean, but we also don't want to get our towel dirty. Because we want people to serve us. We want to be served. But when it comes to moving chairs or picking up tables, or when it comes to doing a bus ministry or helping in junior church or cleaning a toilet or cleaning the carpet, whatever it is, and not just around here at the church either, but when it comes to that coworker that you absolutely can't stand, the person that everybody kind of bashes at the water cooler, no, the boss that overlooks you for the raises and for the promotions, you're supposed to serve them. No, when it comes to that person that just got hired, but they act like they know everything, serve them. The cranky clerk at the grocery store, serve them. The cranky teenager that pushes your cart out to your car at United, serve them. Don't get in the car and be like, that's unbelievable to me. Believe it. The waiter that doesn't get your drink right every single time, the reason that you're having to eat that nasty meal even though you didn't order it, serve. Well, I go to a restaurant to be served. There it is. But also, we're all guilty of this. You know what? I'll get my towel a little bit dirty for them because I think one day they'll be able to help me out. And you're willing to get it just dirty enough. Just dirty enough to look like you actually care about that person, but you're only trying to line some pockets. I'm not saying money. Hey, your friends are a blessing to you. And your friends, they're a blessing to you. So if you make friends by kind of getting that towel dirty, that's conniving. That's not servitude. That's not humble. It kind of sounds like, what's that guy's name? Judas. Right? I know it's Sunday morning. I'm sorry. I know this wasn't an encouragement. It's a challenge. And I can go on and on about people that you're supposed to serve. But we're supposed to serve everyone. We're called to serve anyone and everyone because that is the mindset and the example that Christ has set for us. So pull your list out. Your two names. Think about your list, whoever they are. And I want you to think. God has called me to serve both of these people the exact same. The exact same. Someone that has wronged you over and over and over again, and the person that has loved you over and over and over again, you are called to serve them both. Are you doing it? And if you're not, your mindset needs to shift. Humble servitude. That's what Christ has called us all to be. Humble servants. So the question this morning is this, my friend. Are you serving everyone like Jesus? Because he died for everybody. That means you should serve everybody as well.